Okay, we are recording.
The chair calls the Human Services Committee meeting of Tuesday, March 26, 2013 to order. Ms. Davis, could you please call the roll?
David Hallman?
Present.
Aaron Decker?
She just went out. She's here.
She's here. Boyd Frederick?
Here.
Angie Montemurro?
Here.
Gabe Newto?
I'm here.
Anita Johnson?
She's excused. She called in.
Okay. David Arrington?
He's excused as well. He also called.
Okay. Jacob Gentner?
Here.
And Stephanie Perubio?
Here.
We have a quorum.
We can't do anything until she gets back.
We have four.
Four out of seven?
Yeah, that's a quorum. Yeah.
Thank you. Okay.
She just went to the ladies room.
Okay. Agenda item number three, approval of the minutes of 3-9-13.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Supervisor Frederick, second by Supervisor Montemurro. Youth and Governance?
Aye.
Aye.
Committee?
Aye.
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 Agenda. Can we wait for her to come back? Is that okay?
Maybe we should wait a couple minutes.
Yeah.
She gets back.
She might be checking out the new bathrooms.
Are they new?
Yeah, they were just renovated, brand new bathrooms.
Can we recess and we can all go?
We got an extra member.
Yay. Yes.
Hello. That's good news.
It was too cold to pick it.
You let the cold stamp out your file.
No. For 45 minutes, and then I had to stop.
Supervisor Johnson has joined us. We're waiting for Supervisor Decker. The bathrooms were remodeled, so if you want to go check it out now.
I'll wait till I thaw.
Industrial strength air.
It started at 5:30, so I got to be there for.
We didn't move the bathrooms, did we?
No.
Okay. So
no, they're
lost.
Still over here and then over here. So it's been something that the Human Services has put in the budget since like 2002. And finally, this year, we got them remodeled. They just opened today, so we should add a ribbon cutting ceremony or something.
Do they have that life-size poster of the county executive in there?
You just don't want to know where it is. It
took 11 years, huh?
Other projects kind of went in front of it occasionally, so but they needed to be remodeled, so we're grateful that they're new and improved, much improved.
We thought we were just trying to keep up by terror. Okay, now we are recording again.
Agenda item number four, resolutions to approve the following county executive appointments. Virgil Gentz and Supervisor Ron Johnson to the Human Services Board. Tracy Nielsen and Brooke Infozino to the Workforce Development Board.
Thank you. I'll present those tonight. Virgil has been a long-standing member of our Public Welfare Committee that, starting in January, through the Human Services Board votes and recommendation, we dissolved because it was kind of a duplication of what we were doing in Human Services Board. So we're asking tonight that Virgil then become appointed on the Kenosha County Human Services Board. He would have been here tonight, but the last Tuesday of every month he has his town chairmanship meeting out in Paris, so he is unable to attend. But he is a regular attendee, for those of you who know Virgil, and has contributed a lot over the years and is still wanting to be a member of the board. So I would ask his approval.
Questions?
I have a question.
Surprise.
Would that be considered like a reappointment, pretty much, since it's kind of...
Sort of, kind of in a way, because he's moving from one committee to another, or one that dissolved, and they're just kind of morphing into the Human Service Board. So, if you want to do it that way, I'm okay with that.
Well, there is what I'm saying, that this usual in the past, I always expected somebody to be or when they were appointed, but in this case, I believe, I would consider this really like a reappointment,
yes.
So therefore, I will not have any problems with that.
Anyone?
No. Motion to approve Virgil.
Second.
Motion by Supervisor Frederick. Second by Supervisor. Looking at names today.
Decker.
Decker. Thank you. Sorry. It's the third time I've been there. Youth and Governance.
Aye.
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 All right. Supervisor Johnson is a reappointment to the Human Services Board, so I would ask your support in allowing him. continue in that. He's also been a long-standing member of that board.
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion by Supervisor Nudal, second by Supervisor Frederick. Ethan Governor?
Aye.
Committee?
Aye.
Moving along now to a different board, the Kenosha County Workforce Development Board. We're asking that Tracy Nielsen, who is the new United Way Executive Director, is that your official title?
CEO.
Yeah, CEO. All right, and she is here tonight if you had any questions, but we're asking for appointment on the Workforce Development Board. Turn it over to you, Dicker.
Just tell us a little bit about yourself.
Supervisor Frederick.
Oh, sorry.
Sorry.
I'm waiting for some instruction. Well, basically, I've been with the United Way of Kenosha County since the end of August. As the CEO, I've been with United Way for 8 years prior to that. And since coming to Kenosha, I'm now on the CAVA board, the Wyland board, trying to get really involved in the community. I think that Workforce Development Board is a natural fit. United Way definitely prioritizes income as one of our areas of interest. And we work closely here with the Job Center on our volunteer income tax assistance program. So very interested in getting involved in this committee.
Anyone else?
Second.
Move to approve.
Motion by Supervisor Nudal, second by Supervisor Decker. Ethan Governance?
Aye.
Committee?
Aye.
Aye. Congratulations.
Thank you. And I would just like to mention, speaking of VITA, they are here this evening. And if you had a chance, if you came through anywhere near entrance D in the commons area, there are a lot of people still utilizing that service, which is usually as we're getting closer to April 15th, it winds down. This year, it's been full bore.
It's
been
2 snow days.
I'm
still
100%.
Yeah, okay. I wasn't sure.
Yeah, so we'll be back to you probably sometime in the next couple months with kind of a report on how that did and the money that we brought got brought back to the community to that group. Thank you, Tracy. The last appointment is Brooke Infocino. Ms. Infocino was not able to make it tonight due to a scheduling conflict. It's also to the Workforce Development Board. She would be taking, she's a CAVA employee and would be taking the place of Todd Battle, who's been on that board.
A CAVA employee?
Yes, she works for CAVA. And she's taking Todd's spot. Todd is pulling off the board and asking that she be put on in his place. She's Director of Talent Development for CAVA.
Supervisor Nudal?
I will make a motion to table this until the next meeting. I wish she could be here.
There a second to this motion?
I'll second that.
Second by Supervisor Montemurro. Discussion.
Well, again, the only thing that I want to add on that is pretty much I want to be. We always, with the exception of County Board Supervisor, always voted that people should be here when they're appointed to a committee. Therefore,
do you know if she'll have conflict next month, too?
I'm not sure, Sharon. Did she?
I think she might be available.
Next month?
As long as nothing comes up, yeah.
Okay. Anyone else? So the motion on the floor is to table until next meeting? Would you like to amend it to maybe we could get a special meeting to maybe get her in a little earlier, if that's possible?
Fine. If it's fine with everybody, I have no problems. We can do it before a board meeting.
Supervisor Decker?
Is there a need for it?
I'm trying to think when the next meeting will be held. If there is, we'll try to get her in before a board meeting. If not, then we'll look at that in April when we would regularly schedule.
Is Mr. Battle off already?
Not officially. I don't believe he's been until
then.
This appointment.
And there's probably no urgency.
You think that?
Aye.
Is that the right thing to say? Aye.
Unless you could no abstain.
No. I agree with it. So aye.
Sorry, I'm just like intimidating.
No, okay.
Committee.
Aye.
Okay. Agenda item 5 from the Department of Health: resolution to modify the 2013 budget for the Strategic Prevention Partnership of Success 2 grant program.
Thank you. Good evening.
here to request your approval of a grant that the Health Department received through the Department of Human Services. And it's a three-year grant, although it started in September of 2012. It will end in September of 2015. And it's from the State of Wisconsin Department of Mental Health and Substance Abuse Services. We are one of nine counties through an assessment that have been selected to focus on this reduction of prescription drug misuse and abuse for persons aged 12 until 25 years. There are several implementation strategies that I'll go through. We are going to be using existing part-time staff, and actually they're Debbie Ruber and Crystal Ravenstein that will be doing the presentations with your next item on your agenda. But this grant segues into the Healthier Wisconsin Partnership Program for Suicide Prevention. And you'll find out through their presentation how it they blend very well together. They each have gone from part-time to either full-time or closer to full-time. There's no additional levy funding costs associated with this grant. And the goal, as I mentioned, is to reduce non-medical and unauthorized availability of and access to prescription drugs among the specific age group. The implementation strategies that both Debbie and Crystal have been working on is one, a sustainable method for disposing controlled substances. Currently, we have four drop-off boxes for medications within our county. We also will be working on an education campaign for this project, and it'll include Good Drugs Gone Bad, and it's education with students, parents, teachers, pharmacies, healthcare, funeral homes, realtors, and retirement communities. Will also be accessing media such as newspapers, potentially billboards, and other public outreach education programs. The third strategy will be tracking and monitoring, and the prescription drug monitoring program, which will be through the state of Wisconsin. It has been on their to-do list. It was supposed to be up by this June, but it might not be at this point. And this is a prescription drug monitoring program that will go through the pharmacies and work with healthcare professionals. They'll also be working on, the state will be working on tracking and monitoring the use and overdose. I actually think both Debbie and Crystal will be collecting that data. And statewide, it'll be improving a reporting system for abuse is another one of the goals. The fourth strategy is a healthcare policy and proper prescribing practices, which is an education and training for healthcare professionals. Also ensuring chronic pain sufferers have safe, consistent access. They'll be looking at standardizing screening methods to detect the use of commonly misused medications such as psychostimulants, benzos, or benzodiazepines. They'll also be working on the development of a treatment protocol to ensure early intervention and treatment programs. Dentists will also be included in the healthcare. And the last item, the last strategy, is training and implementation of a drug recognition expert, a DRE officer. So this will be working with both our city and sheriff. Law enforcement, these are specialized officers. They go through a very rigorous training to identify the signs and symptoms, physical and symptoms of impairment with drugs other than alcohol and commonly used illicit drugs. And what it does is provide more evidence that will hold up in court, and it also reduces the Talbert challenges. The funding is $112,000, $889,000, and $20,000 plus will be going to the University of Wisconsin Public Health Institute, and they'll be providing the evaluation for this program. Any questions?
Supervisor Montemar.
Along those lines, starting in January, all physicians' narcotic use is being followed. We've already gotten that notice. It was supposed to be January 2013. So even if it isn't implemented, they've threatened us that they started then.
Okay.
So
is this through a database
yes.
system?
Yeah, the DA is working on this because there's been a ton of abuse. And you know from the poly drug overdose numbers, they're outrageous. And actually the numbers, it is true that the deaths went up from 2011 to 2012. However, the combination of those deaths started to decrease last year because they're working on this very intensely. The other source is healthcare facilities. They're watching the facilities, the nursing homes, the assisted livings. They're watching the hospices. They're watching for any place where these drugs are ordered and what happens to them afterwards. So that alone has helped, and that's a big federal push, and it's huge in this area, which I'm very grateful for. So it's coming, whether we like it or not, and I love it. So it's here. And the physicians, for the first time, they're also being looked at the number of drugs they order. Like if you have a chronic pain patient, you know, you used to give them 3 months supply or something, now they'll notice that. So you'll do 1 month, and then they have to come in for their protocols. And so, and all the healthcare facilities are really watching that, because that's what JCO's going to watch, and that's what the DA and the Fed's watching. So if it's coming from us, it's going to be nipped in the bud. If it's coming from us and we don't know about it, they're going to catch it. So it's going to be better. This poly drug mess should start improving and stay improved.
Good. Thanks for sharing that information.
Yeah, it's phenomenal.
There's been many unintentional
Way
deaths.
Too many. We had 40 last year, and that's outrageous. And then if you include the suicide people with the drugs in there, that was 45. In a community that size, you know, that's one or two a week. Those are horrifying numbers for the community and for the families. So I'm very, very excited about this.
Our medical examiner has been...
I know, she's phenomenal. She's the one that I keep calling and getting these numbers from. So they're watching, and it's the first time in years that they're literally, with the autopsies and everything, literally writing down Xanax, morphine, Oxycontin, Percocet, and that's what's hit the feds. So I'm so happy about that.
I just want to mention, follow up on something Cindy said about the grant starting in September. It did not start with the counties, and everyone should have got a copy of the letter that was sent, I believe, in January to us, indicating that we were one of the eligible counties to apply mm-hmm. for this process. So even though there's a start date way back when, mm-hmm. we haven't spent a penny yet or started this up, because it took the state a while to figure out what it is we're supposed to be measuring, and they put out that little process saying, apply. Counties, hint, hint, here's some money to deal with this issue. And then once we receive notification, we're now in the process of getting it approved so we can move forward and start planning and educating the community. So.
Your plan sounds phenomenal, and I hope other people piggyback on it, other communities, because you really sound like you put a lot of work into it. It's wonderful.
Right, thank you.
Any other questions? I have one, mm-hmm. and I guess I would ask, you know, to what extent is some of the data that's collected, will that be available on our county website?
Potentially. Debbie, I know, has been working for several years, and the presentation that they'll be providing is giving you some inkling of some additional information. What we have to do is also be very cognizant of the numbers, because of the size of the numbers, or actually the small size of the numbers, that there isn't any breach in confidentiality to identify who they are, people.
Yeah. That's why I didn't ask about GIS mapping.
Right.
Anybody else? Someone like to make a motion to approve?
Motion to approve.
Motion.
Second.
Motion by Supervisor Johnson, second by Supervisor Montemurro. Youth and Governance?
Aye.
Committee?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you very much.
Agenda item number 6, Healthy Education, Healthy Wisconsin Partnership Program, Suicide Prevention Initiative.
I understand if that's okay with you. I feel like I'm in a fishbowl here anyway. I think this will get a little brighter, but yeah, that would be great. All right, I'm Debbie Ruber, and I'm a health educator here at the health department. I've been here for almost 14 years. I've had the pleasure of working on Healthy Wisconsin Partnership Program grants since 2005. Crystal, you want to introduce yours?
I'm Crystal Raffenstein. I've been working for the health department for about a month, so I'm brand new to Debbie's life. So I kind of bring a new aspect and a nursing aspect to the suicide prevention and drug abuse prevention role.
So I wanted to throw a number at you guys. 298. Sound like a big number? If you're talking pennies, no. Okay. If you're talking minutes, again, it adds up a little bit. But if we're talking lives, it's a huge number. We have lost 298 people to suicide since 2000. So this is very important, I think, in this community because we're trying to address this issue. I lost a friend of mine to suicide in high school, and I didn't realize it was going to shape kind of how I did things, but it has, and it's made me question a couple things that maybe I could have done differently, knowing that I maybe could have saved his life. So we're hoping to bring this into the community and teach them a lot of different things. So. This is what the mission statement is of the Suicide Prevention Coalition. We started the coalition actually in 2005. We were trying to do like a needs assessment, what's available in the community, what isn't. We wanted to find out what were the issues. And we have Medical College of Wisconsin Injury Research Center is one of our partners, along with Mental Health America. And with having the Injury Research Center, they were able to give us all kinds of data. And with the data, it showed falls prevention was needed, child passenger safety, as well as suicide prevention. Falls prevention was already taken care of by the ADRC here. We were doing car seat stuff, so it came out that suicide prevention was probably something that we should focus on. In 2005 to 2006, we had a rash of teen suicides. There were six within about a 5 or 6 month period of time. So we started focusing on teen suicides. And when we got together with the coalition, we invited anyone and everyone we could think of to come. And part of our group broke off into figuring out what our mission was going to be. Some of us tried to decide what resources were out there. Others decided to go out in the community and talk to people about what was going on as well. So we all came together and came up with this mission statement and giving our objectives, basically what we wanted to work on. This is what the suicides look like in Kenosha County. The 2005 to 2006 is where I was speaking about of the teens. In 2010, I believe it was, we had no teen suicides at all. So, and we have small victories here and there, but obviously any lives lost is not something that we want to see the numbers going up. We would definitely want to see them going down. Somebody made a comment to me recently about different administration that's been in and the difference in the numbers. And I said, you know, I never even thought of it that way as far as the economy, if it has a impact. A lot of things that you read, it doesn't say that there's a direct impact between how the economy is going and how suicide rates are. But people are losing their jobs, people are losing their houses, people are losing their spouses. So that can have an impact depending on how people react to it. This is what we're looking at as far as methods. Hangings are the number one method of choice in Kenosha County. And unfortunately, there's not a whole lot we can do about that. We do means restriction, which I'll get into a little bit more. So firearms is down a little bit compared to hangings. Other is any other category you can think of that if I were to say this is how they did it, you probably could identify a person. Poisonings would be carbon monoxide poisoning, and toxicity would be the drug overdoses. In 2010, I believe it was maybe 2008 or 2009 to 2010, is when we had a lot of suicides by drug overdose. So that was why we are looking towards moving in that direction for our grant. This is what it looks like as far as ages go. It's kind of hard to tell with the colors that I use, but 25 to 44 is the 41%. The 33% is the 45 to 64. So we're looking at middle age men mostly. If we were to combine the 65 through an 85 plus or all the way up to whatever age they are, that is even higher than teen suicide rate. But it's kind of interesting that we picked teen suicides to get started with this. But again, because we're looking at years of life lost. This is what our current grant is. I mentioned that we started in 2005. We had a grant that ran for 3 years, another one that ran for another 3 years, and then now we have this one for 5 years. And this is what we're currently working on, preventing access to methods of self-harm with a focus on poisoning, because, excuse me, we've done that with a lot of the guns. We've done some means restriction with that, offering cable gun locks. Expand our prevention efforts through the expansion of the coalition and to formulate a self-harm and death analysis review team, as well as increase identification, referral, and treatment for persons at risk for suicide and self-harm. As Cindy mentioned before, that we do have 4 drop boxes here in Kenosha County. We're hoping with this new grant to add maybe 1 or 2 more. Pleasant Prairie currently is not participating at their police department. And we've also thought about maybe adding 1 at Parkside. But Twin Lakes, Silver Lake, Town of Salem, and Kenosha Safety Building has one in their lobby. Box that you see on the right-hand side is boxes that we can offer at the health department if people have maybe a large amount of medicines that they need to take on a daily basis, but yet there is a fear that maybe they have somebody who's depressed in the home, maybe it's young children, maybe it's a teenager that has experimented with drugs or may experiment if the opportunity presents itself, but they can lock those medications up. Is it foolproof? No, but it's something to put a barrier in the way, so that's a form of means restriction as well. Mentioned about the prescription drug monitoring program. We have Dr. Zozel, who is on our grant this year, and she works at the Medical College of Wisconsin. She comes to us from Colorado, where they had a prescription drug monitoring program. We are the 49th state out of 50 to have a prescription drug monitoring program. The good thing is we can learn from what everybody else did. So I'm looking at it as a positive way. And Missouri's the only one. They don't even have anything going right now. So this, I think, is going to be a really great thing. I don't have to enter into it, so of course that's easy for me to say. I know the pharmacists are going to get a lot of the brunt of the work, but in the end we're hoping to see a reduction in doctor shopping and the abuse of prescription medications. As I mentioned, we do means restriction a little bit more with guns. I said we can't really do much with hangings, but we do have cable gun locks at the health department. We are able to get that through a grant through the Kubley Foundation. And that is a group that's out of Milwaukee that they lost their brother, son, to suicide. And so they give money out in Wisconsin for different efforts. And so we were able to purchase cable gun locks last year. And then this year, take it back once. 2011, we were able to purchase 5,000 cable gun locks, or excuse me, 6,000. Last year, we wrote a grant for 5,000, and we were able to get 12,000. I would like to say it's smooth talking on my part, but it actually was that the gentleman that we were purchasing from was going out of business, and he said, would you like the rest of my stock for the price of 5,000? Absolutely. So we are charged with distributing these throughout the state of Wisconsin. We had them in 22 different counties last year. This year, they have been concentrated into a lot of the same counties, but we're also expanding. So what we do is track these and kind of look at who are we giving these cable gun locks out to. A lot of them are middle-aged white men. So that's who we want to, obviously, because a lot of them are gun owners. We also are very careful how we portray the message, because we don't want to have people thinking that it's gun control. I could care less if they have 10 guns in their house, 100 guns, as long as they get the message that we want them to keep them unloaded, locked up, and their ammunition stored separately, so that the chance of a suicide happening are very can be stopped a little bit, or people can think a little bit more before they grab that gun, because obviously with a gun, their chances of having an actual suicide occur are much greater than if you were to have pills or possibly hanging. I just wanted to show you that's what the Kubley Foundation is logo is, and that's their site is really a lot of information on depression in mental illnesses and about what they've accomplished. They've given out lots of grants throughout the state of Wisconsin for mental health issues and suicide prevention. We do QPR training, and there are currently 10 of us certified to do this program. And we are charged with, I think by the end of the grant, to have 1,500 people trained. We already have 700 people trained, just a little over that, and it's only been a year and a half into the grant. And this helps pretty much, it can be agencies, it can be community, it can be certain businesses that are looking for this information. It's about a 1 hour multimedia campaign that talks about how to question a person if they are suicidal, how to persuade them to get help, and then how to refer them to the different services that are out there. And I brought along the resources that we give out and that we've developed. I don't know if I'm going to pass them around. Well, Chris will be my Vanna tonight. And these are all the things that the coalition has developed to be able to share with the community. We found some gaps in services, so we developed a counseling services sheet. We also developed a community resource card that is very easy to fit in your pocket, and even if it sticks out, people don't really recognize it because it's a white piece of paper. And then the mental health guide, that was developed many years ago, and it kind of sat on shelves for a little while in until 2007, and then we just recently updated it again. So, and it's in English and Spanish. That's the one thing that we can offer in for mental health in both languages. And then also a brochure on where the medicine collection boxes are. And this is the information we give out in the QPR trainings, as well as we get feedback from people saying, if that's what I knew the warning signs were, I probably would have known that my son was going to attempt suicide, or now I know what to look for, or giving them the idea of what means restriction is about. The Self-Harm Death Analysis Review Team, or the SDART, we have a child death review team already in Kenosha County, and it's been reviewing deaths up to 21 years old, I believe, through 21. So we were going to take on 22 until whenever. And what we're looking at is trying to find some trends. Are there different patterns that we're seeing so that we can maybe prevent deaths from happening? We've had two meetings so far. Crystal's going to be heading that up, and we're looking forward to kind of reviewing some deaths to see, like I said, if there is some trending going on. We're also doing some work with colleges. We're finding that suicide's not only a problem with teens or the older population. It's also happening in college campuses because a lot of kids come from other places and they don't know necessarily what services are available, or maybe their first time being away from home, and how do I handle this situation? This is something that Dr. Montemiro mentioned a couple years ago when she came to our coalition, and we've actually made a lot of contact with the colleges. We have a college advisory board that comes together, and it's bringing the mental health providers, the colleges, and the emergency rooms together to discuss what's going on, what are they seeing, how can they communicate with each other better. They know what's going on in each other's campuses. Some of them have great health centers, and other ones are pretty sparse. So we also want to tell them what's available in our community as well, so in case they need to refer out, they have those resources as well. And with the hospitals, we've been doing a lot of work with their ERs. There's some concerns there that they have frequent flyers, and how do we deal with the situation? And I think, again, the prescription drug monitoring program is going to help out with that. They've also been able to give us some statistics. Like, I remember it was last year, United Hospital had told us that out of their 50,000 ER visits, about 5% of them were mental health. And I thought, wow, that seems like a lot to me. But again, if we can only have mental health emergency rooms, that would take away that population and leave it for more medical concerns. So that's something down the road maybe that, you know, we can open up a mental health emergency room. Does anybody have any questions? Kind of went fast on it, but I don't want to spend too much time on it.
I have a few. You're talking about trends.
Mm-hmm.
When you showed the plot of the yearly suicides, do you also track attempts?
We don't, because we don't have access to that data. I believe the Kenosha Human Development Services does because of their crisis calls. It's really hard to get it from the hospitals just because they have to de-identify everything.
My thoughts were, though, it's going to be hard to get, when you're looking at trends, it's going to be hard to get accurate readings when you're only looking at successful, if you call them successful, mm-hmm. attempts or completed attempts. You know, without looking at all of the attempts,
mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you're looking at probably a very small portion.
Right, and we would love to look at attempts, and we're looking to see if there's any way we could get that information. But like I said, we're just starting to really talk with the hospitals and develop that relationship. So I think it will be helpful if we can get that. But again, with HIPAA, it's tough. So.
Absolutely. Do you have, but there are ways of getting numbers without giving specific information mm-hmm. about specific patients, counts, mm-hmm. Numbers, just basic numbers.
Right. If we use any of the National Violent Death Reporting System, it's generally 2010 data is what we can get right now. So we're looking at stuff that's kind of old.
Whereas, do you have any idea what the correlation is? I mean, if, for example, the year that there were 17, do you have any idea if the attempts trend with the completions?
I don't know.
Or how many attempts are usually completed?
What we say in QPR training is there's probably 25 attempts for each death by suicide.
That's
but again, that may
too.
Be underestimated because, again, when they come into the hospital, it depends on what they're presenting with
and
or what they can
go to the hospital. So,
yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
I can't believe I just did this, and we'll get this all taken care of. But otherwise, it depends on how a doctor codes it, and we don't have any control over that.
Supervisor Mycor?
I have a question. A while back we talked about drop boxes at the pharmacies. Mm-hmm. Pharmacies have to deal with their own drugs that are outdated, and I just wonder if they would do something like that. If they would have drop boxes there so people, when they go pick up their drugs, could drop off their old drugs. I would think that would be a community service and something they'd want to do.
The only problem is with controlled substances, that's why it's at police departments, because then it's being videotaped as to if anybody ever breaks in. I know they already have controlled substances there, don't get me wrong, but to bring them back in, there's some kind of glitch in that.
Okay,
but
so that's what they're worried about.
Would love to throw that price tag back on them.
But you realize people kill themselves not just with prescription drugs. I mean, if you want to die, you go get your mother's blood pressure pills and you swallow them, you get your father's mm-hmm. gout pills, you don't know what the heck you're taking, but you take them, So maybe the non-prescription drugs that could help us. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a thought. And I think it could be a community effort where they do that, because it would just decrease the number of pills. And, unless kids are really intelligent about, because they're using drugs, that's a different story. But otherwise, it may get some drugs out of the way for us. And then I have a question for you, too. Your QPR, is that similar to the ALS that the National Suicide Prevention Program is using at, for example, Madison College, where it's ask, listen, save kind of thing? Because they got a funding, they got a grant this year.
Okay.
And so the lady in charge, Danielle Oakley, I'll give you her name and number, they promised with the grant that if any community works with a college at the UW system mm-hmm. for, I don't know if it's, at when they first started the grant, it was only $3,000. You can buy a $20,000 computer program that kids can just go to, anyone can, even mm-hmm. a janitor, and find out how to talk to a potentially suicidal person. So I'm going to give you her name. If you want to call and see, that would be money well spent if she has funding for that, because mm-hmm. this is the first year she got the federal grant from the suicide program that I started up there. Mm-hmm. So I think that would be really easy to do. And then the last thing I have is a question. Do you mind giving us a copy of the non-picture slides? I would really love to see that suicide number in my paperwork.
Mm-hmm. I can give them to or send them to Sharon.
The picture ones I don't care, but the ones with the data would be very interesting.
Sure.
Thank you, Debbie.
Mm-hmm. And just to answer about the ALS, there's lots of different programs out there.
Yeah.
Right. And as long as people are learning,
right.
Because there's the SOS, Signs of Suicide program that they do in the high schools. There's psychological first aid. There's lots of different things. QPR is an evidence-based practice. They just had it put on as a evidence-based research. So that's, I guess, kind of where we came from, because we wanted to make sure that that we were teaching stuff that was definitely evidence-based. So.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Agenda item number 7, discussion and approval of resolution in favor of treatment instead of prisons. And I guess we're turning over to Kush.
Okay, I'm Florence Hamilton, and I'm a member of Kush, and I coordinate our 11 by 15 campaign for safer, healthier communities. And 11 by 15 means we would like to reduce our prison population to 11,000 from 22,000 by the year 2015. And we have a plan for doing this, and we have data to prove that what we're saying is accurate. I'm here primarily to ask your support of the resolution being presented this evening. It would support our work advocating for increased funding for treatment alternatives and diversion programs for low-risk offenders afflicted with substance abuse or mental illness. And I emphasize this is for low-risk offenders. America has the highest incarceration rate in the developed world. Kush is part of the statewide effort to reduce the prison population, and we can do this by increasing funding for treatment alternatives in the community rather than incarceration for this particular group. The Wisconsin corrections budget presently is $1.3 billion a year, and this is up from $200 million in 1990. This is unsustainable. The cost to incarcerate a person for 1 year is about $32,000. And treatment programs work, and they are proven. For every dollar put into treatment, we can save $2. Health impact assessment was done by Human Impact Partners, and Sandy will pass those out. The assessment confirms the work we have been doing to get increased funding. If $75 million were put into TAD programs in the Wisconsin budget, prison admissions would decrease by about 40%. Jail admissions would decrease by about 10%. Reincarceration would decrease. Recidivism would be 12 to 16% lower for nonviolent offenders. Communities would be safer. Crime would be reduced. The offender would be restored to health. Families would be strengthened. As many as 1,600 parents could stay out of prison and receive treatment. From personal experience from participating in permanency plan reviews for kids in foster care, I see the primary reason these kids are in foster care is because of substance abuse or mental illness. Children of incarcerated parents are much more likely to drop out of high school, and they're 7 times more likely to be convicted of a crime as a young adult. There would be improved economic opportunity. If employed, the offender would be able to keep their jobs. and employment opportunities would be greater because there would be no label of being incarcerated, no scarlet letter for the offender. Changes in the correction policies are happening around the country from Texas to New York. A quote from a statement from the American Conservative, which was posted on March 6th of this year. The quote is, "For nonviolent offenders who are not career criminals, incarceration can be counterproductive. As it is sometimes said, prisons are graduate schools for crime. From a faith and humane perspective, as well as the huge savings of tax dollars, I hope you will support the resolution presented this evening." The health impact assessment results were given to you. We also want to talk about, Kush is co-sponsoring with University of Wisconsin-Parkside and also the Racine Interfaith Coalition. This documentary, The House I Live In, it is the winner of a Sundance Film Festival Grand Jury Award, and it's being presented at Parkside free of charge, and it's really a great film on how mass incarceration is just destroying families, it's destroying communities, and there's a better way. Lastly, I am available to give PowerPoint presentations showing our campaign, and look forward to doing that for any group or anybody interested in seeing that.
I just want to say that I'm a huge supporter of this. I think it's so important in so many ways, like you said. I mean, it's common sense, it's common decency. We have way too many people in jail who don't belong in jail, or if we would have stepped in with some mental health prevention, some help with drug abuse. I mean, it's especially with our very young adults. You're right, you know, a lot of kids have brought up foster home to foster home, and they, you know, they start off and can't find their footing, and then it's just, you know, once they get in trouble, it's just a long, it's a snowball. They just get worse and worse. You're absolutely right.
So we encourage your attendance at our April 15th event at Parkside, the cinema there. Please, if you have any questions, you can contact Sandy or I. We've got the documentation. I mean, the data is in supporting. It just makes sense. Even Bobby Jindal in Louisiana is making some effort. I guess Louisiana is the highest incarceration state in the union, so even he's aware of the problem. It's not a red issue or a blue issue. It is a national issue.
Mr. Chair?
I've read this and read this, and I'm struggling with it. Okay, I believe that we should spend more dollars with mental health programs and with programs that are going to help people in that regard. I guess what I would want to know is who are you targeting, and how are you getting them before the snowball starts going?
Well, first of all, Kenosha County is in a great position because we have a drug court, we have a veterans court, and we're going to have a mental health court. So people, it involves this grieving process. Actually going through treatment is much harder than being incarcerated, because when a person's incarcerated, they don't learn to deal with their problems. When a person receives treatment in the community, they're in the area where they have the stressors and the problems.
And you said you have data that supports this position?
Absolutely.
Could I get some of that?
Well, other than the health impact assessment.
Is that where your data is? Because I could certainly read it.
Well, you can go to...
all over the internet.
I mean, because in theory, I understand what you're saying, and it's a good idea if you get to the people at the right time. You know, but I also don't want to make it easy on people that are going to commit crimes. And, you know, I mean, like I said, I'm struggling with it. And to be, you know, handed this now, I'll certainly read it and review it, but I'm looking for data that would show me that, I mean, on paper, I like to hear you say, oh, we're going to have 40% less incarcerations and save X number of million dollars. But I could put that on paper. Right.
Well, anyhow, on our Pray for Justice in Wisconsin website, we also have the La Follette study. There are all kinds of studies. They're very intense studies. They're multi-pages. So there is the documentation on the website.
What website?
It should be on this other brochure, isn't it?
This one?
In the back.
Okay.
Yeah, if you go to that website, they have the La Follette study and other studies. So this isn't something that was just picked out of the air. It's based on facts.
If I could.
I'm not saying it was. I'm trying to do my best to just gather information and see where you're coming from.
If I could, just, I want to give a little bit of background as to why this is on this agenda. First of all, criminal justice and, to a large extent, sociology are two branches off of the same tree. And so all of these initiatives really fall on the human services side of the house to do, even though they involve the criminal justice system, which is why they're not directed to the Judiciary and Law Committee. They're to us. Secondly, there have been a number of committees over the last, I would say, 4 years of criminal justice professors, of judges, of DAs, of public defenders that have looked at a variety of things in our criminal justice system and advocated for diversion programs. The result has been that the state of Wisconsin does not have any statutory law committing to these things. It's been federal grant money that we've been implementing at the local level, even though the Chief Justice likes it, even though there are legislators that like it. For one reason or another, the political will has really fallen short of trying to make this a priority. And the expectation in the previous state budget was that there was going to be a commitment from the state of Wisconsin to do these kinds of things. And there was a lot of shock and surprise that there wasn't, because there are a number of states that have said, we literally cannot afford to do this. They've had to look at issues that were more important, like education. They've had to just plain flat out balance the books in a number of cases. And so they've said, we have to do this. We have to have diversion programs. And so we've started doing some of that in Wisconsin. But again, our state has not made the commitment, even though we've had teams of people from our state, in our state, working with legislators, working with the governor's office, who've done the research, who understand this stuff, but we've been basically implementing federal programs with federal money. And so the expectation was that it would be in-house, Wisconsin born, raised, bred, implemented, and that has yet to occur. And so the push is really to tell the state to get on the ball and say, move the political will and make it happen in-house, so that we don't necessarily always have to rely on federal funds, which is what NACA really went to the Hill in D.C. a couple weeks ago and really lobbied very hard for. So that's why this is on our agenda. So with that, we'll just so you have the background. Supervisor Johnson.
I just wanted to say there are places who've started to implement things like this, and there are statistics that you can get all over the place, even on government websites. You can see the number of mentally ill who are now incarcerated, whereas if they would have had programs initially, some of the programs that we should have wind up. I mean, it's staggering. It's like over five times in the last 10 years, fivefold in the last years. It's 10 years. So it's just, it's really, and the thing is, too, it's like looking at maintenance on your house. Do you know what I mean? You have to invest in order to save money in the long run, too. It is going to save money in the long run. But yeah, you have to put an initial investment into it. But even if you look at some of the places where it is being implemented, you can find the statistics online.
And I think Debbie can attest to the fact that, too, a lot of people resort to drugs because of underlying mental illness, and it's a dual diagnosis.
Supervisor Montemaro?
I think this is wonderful, and it's just telling the state, this is good, we're already doing it down here, let's do it more at the state level to get more of this. I mean, that's what you're asking, correct?
Yes, and to bring it to the community so that a person can be treated in a situation where they're in trouble.
Right.
And that's where their stressors are. They learn to deal with their situation. That it involves counseling, it involves testing randomly for drugs. I don't know if you're familiar with how our local drug court operates, but that would be a resource for you. The screening process they put through for these people. At our public meeting, we did have three young ladies that had substance abuse issues and did go through the drug court process, and now they are living healthy lives, reunited with their families. And the big thing is to get them before they go to jail, because they're not getting the services there. They're getting the label there. They're getting in a worse environment to learn methods of crime. They're not being healed in the prison system.
And that's what I would agree with 100%.
And this is for low-risk offenders. And if there is there would be a stringent interview process for this. And that process is developed by the community. By the courts and human services.
Mr. Chairman, there's a number of resources on the Federal Department of Justice Assistance website there. The most recent series of resolutions that we've passed regarding treatment and diversion programs are studies done by the UW Population Health Institute. If you want to know some of the past committees that have worked at the state level around a number of these initiatives, it's on the Wisconsin Legislative Council website. Those are the places that I would go to first. That'll give you immediately what it is that you're looking for.
Okay, thank you.
Supervisor Newell.
I know you mentioned something about low-risk offenders.
Right.
What do you mean by low-risk offenders?
They would be somebody that did not commit a violent crime. Perhaps somebody picked up for possession, a parole violation. Very often you'll even read in the paper where somebody is stopped for a taillight violation, and during the arrest they will find drugs. So those are the kind of people that we're referring to. It's not anybody that has harmed anybody in any way.
But they're pretty much on the way. If that would be the case, maybe they are on the way of committing a crime. And that's the same thing by stopping somebody with a gun, a loaded gun, going somewhere.
Well, they might be using it, it might be for their own personal use.
Drugs, I don't think you're talking about a gun. Again, if somebody was found with a gun, that would be considered a violent offense.
I understand. I was just making that example, because if we find drugs in there, that's what they're taken for. I mean, with drugs or drunk driving, there are a lot of people killing other people because of drunk driving.
If you look at absolutely. But if you look at like statistics too, I'm sorry. Go ahead,
Supervisor Nudo. Did you have anything else? For the record, you are currently aware we are a state that incarcerates people who commit forgeries in excess of $2,500.
Okay. Well, I think that the prisons are there for somebody. If somebody commits a crime, should pay the price. I don't think I'm going to support this here, so.
Supervisor Montemaro?
Is clergy involved in this also?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, I'm just verifying, you know, because I think that's your bang for your buck.
We had a rally in Madison March 14th, and this was a major issue that we presented to legislators there.
Okay.
We have supporters in both the Democratic and Republican legislature on this funding. The interfaith group was instrumental years ago. We called it TIP, treatment instead of prison. And at that time, $1 million was put in by the state but that's just a drop in the bucket for what is needed. You know, it's not, people have this tough on crime attitude, but when you think of the funding and the waste of human lives, it's not tough on crime that we have to be, it's smart on crime. And coming from the faith community, we do believe in forgiveness, and we believe that people can change if they're given the right supports. And one other thing I would like to say, the resolution has been passed in Outagamie County. So we are bringing it to Kenosha County because we do have the courts in place. And who would go through the program? That's determined by the community. Who's considered a low-risk offender? That's determined by the community.
Outagamie County actually had a special initiative that they thought was going to be in the last state budget, not the last, but the current one. And they were quite surprised to find out that it's not. And so they're working very hard to lobby legislators to get funding from the state to make sure that they can implement what they're looking to do. Supervisor Johnson.
I just want to say that incarceration is very expensive. And unfortunately, we have a large population with mental health issues. And they do tend to not get care. A lot of them are undiagnosed, and they self-medicate. What happens is they wind up getting arrested. They're either put on probation or parole or whatever they are on, and they're supervised. And they always violate because they self-medicate. They continue. They have that propensity to self-medicate, and that's the snowball. And unfortunately, their incarceration is much more expensive than their treatment would be. And we have a large number, a very large number, if you look up the statistics, of people with mental health issues who are in prisons who haven't really done anything besides continually be caught with drugs and buying drugs and possession of drugs. And so I just think that we need to think about, you know, the fact that is incarceration for some of these people appropriate if it's not going to help, and we're going to have the taxpayers pay much more in the long run.
The cost of incarcerating an adult in a Wisconsin facility can range anywhere from $26,508 to $35,039, depending on the type of the facility where the adult is placed. The yearly cost of incarcerating a single juvenile is $79,285. And that comes from the, let's see if I can find my tab here, from the Wisconsin Department of Corrections offender population projections and system capacity from January of 2009 on the Department of Corrections website.
The only other point that's very important to make here is when you say drug abuse and mental illness, what comes first? And the drugs give you the mental illness too. I mean, let's face it, it makes you anxious, withdrawal, everything. So the point of a program like this to save money is to really save people when it's appropriate. So that's the point, and that benefits everyone. Now, Kenosha's prime for this because, God bless you guys, you already have three courts set up to do this. So it would make a lot of sense to keep pushing that initiative. It just makes sense. On the other hand, allowing something like this to get out of hand, like the drunken driver who's been offended 8 times, you know, that's ridiculous. So we have to make sure if you want something like this, and it's a good idea, that we do it the right way. And we do not do it with repeat offenders that are affecting our community. Along those lines, getting rid of the prescription drugs, following the drugs, everything's tied together, guys. It makes for a cleaner community.
Mr. Chair?
I apologize that I couldn't be here for the start of your meeting. I was tied up in a work meeting, but this is what I wanted to be here for, so I'm glad it came at this point. I consider myself tough on crime, okay? So, you know, I believe that when you commit crimes, you should be locked up, whatever the cost, okay? And would I love to save money and have nobody incarcerated? You better believe it. I'd rather have everybody abide by the law. But I do see the human side of this, and I would like to be proved. That's why I wanted to come to this meeting. I will dig up statistics and analyze this before I make my vote. My concern is to get to people before they become repeat offenders.
Yes.
And get into the system, because I'm not convinced that once they get into that prison system, I mean, I think the ability to rehabilitate them at that point is very, very difficult. Very difficult.
Well, like what we're pointing out here is, if you do the treatment rather than incarceration,
if the chairman,
I agree with you. I agree with you. If you do it first, and that's my concern is where, and that's why I wanted to get some feeling as to what you're talking about, because in the resolution it doesn't say first offenders or anything like that. So I wanted to hear where we were coming from with this. And you made a comment, decided by the community. What does that mean?
Well, that means the judges and whatever system.
Oh, the court system, then, is what you're saying. Because the community is not going to go after somebody. It's got to be some type of, there's got to be some type of organizations that would.
I would say it's whatever's in place right now. You know, that they're using for the drug court and the
veterans court. Okay. I mean, I want to dive into this and make sure that what this is targeted for is the people that have mental illness or have conditions that can be helped and saved up front. Because in that vein, I have voted to spend money and support these court systems and that type of thing. And I do agree with that. Okay, I'd rather have somebody that could be helped than go into jail. I mean, that's, to me, you're right. It's an obvious statement. But I want to make sure that what we're talking about here is catching the people and having the system in place to find these people before they get out of control and get into the position where, the way I believe, that they're it's very hard to come back from. So that's my comments.
I would just like to stress, I don't know when you're meeting again, but if you can make it on April 15th to see this Sundance Film Festival Grand Jury Award winner on The House I Live In on incarceration, that's an excellent document.
We did start a community justice, I think it was like a task force led by Judge Wagner. And this goes back a couple of years ago. I think it might have been started with some grant money, if I'm not mistaken. No, it wasn't? Okay. But it was started anyway, and I think they still meet, but not as frequently as they used to. No, I'm just totally wrong in some of this. So
they meet. I'm a part of that coordinating committee, criminal justice coordinating committee, it's called, and in the past couple years, we've been meeting about every other month to deal with a number of issues. In fact, had the 11 by 15 presentation last fall, and are instrumental about getting those treatment diversion courts into Kenosha County. So it's a fairly active group that includes the judges, law enforcement, district attorney's office, public defenders, human services.
So I put my foot far enough in my mouth to choke on my kneecap.
I think Supervisor Decker had the next comment.
I'm not going to support this resolution, because you would think that everyone in prison is either mentally ill or are low-risk offenders. I've heard Sheriff David Clark saying that people in prison are hardened criminals. They have gotten off numerous times before they even went to jail. And jail and prison are two different things. And to say that people that are in prison, that they're all in there, none of them deserve to be in there, like was said 5 minutes ago. These are hardened criminals that are in there. And to say that they're all in there because they don't deserve it, or to say that someone's going to prison because they were pulled over because their taillight was out and there was drugs in their car, is just absurd. And it's just, this is ridiculous. It's just ridiculous. And to be handed something like this, where there's no footnotes pointing to any facts or anything to point to actual data, and saying that this is fact, and then you have a quote from a judge, and you don't even have the name of a judge on here, but it's quoted, this is just ridiculous. And I hope Chairman Gentz, that you would have the sheriff, when we bring this to the floor, the county board floor, he can speak to what the jail and prisons and the people, the population that he deals with are actually like, instead of this fairy tale land that everyone that is in prison or in jail are good people, that it's just bad luck that they were there. Thank you.
Supervisor Johnson?
First, I just want to address one thing. I didn't hear anybody say that everybody in jail is a good person. I don't think anybody believes that for a moment. I also wanted to say that I agree completely with what you said, and I assumed by the term low risk. Typically, when you read about things like this, low risk refers to nonviolent first offenders. That's what they describe as low risk. So I just wanted to make that point as well.
I would like to remind the committee that you do have discretion to change the language if you see fit. That is an option that you have at your discretion. Supervisor Frederick.
I'm going to support this for one reason. I look back, going back 20 years, 25 years ago, with some of the kids I grew up with that may have had a chance then if they would have gone one route instead of another route. And I do know, have people I grew up with that will never see the light of day again because they are in prison. Let's at least take a look at it. Let's at least, you know, is there bad people? Absolutely. Would some of them ended up there? Absolutely. Is this worth at least looking at and at least studying it without voting no on it? Absolutely. We go on, we take a look at it further. We go and actually go beyond what we're seeing with just the literature, go beyond, go into the statistics, and look further into what the situation is. What we do on the county level, it really is not going to look at, it's got to be take a look at the state level and beyond us. But at least, I feel if we shut our eyes to everything, we are doing an injustice to some people that may possibly be able to do the one-time offense, get caught with drugs when they're a teenager and turn their lives around instead of going through incarceration, which will follow them for the rest of their lives.
Supervisor Montemore.
I think that was well said, and I just have one other point. Often we do not get in front of us a resolution that can help people and save us money. You're forgetting about that aspect too, because prison is expensive. So from my standpoint, this is feels good and is fiscally responsible if handled correctly. So it's a win-win in my opinion.
Mr. Chair.
I think the most important thing you just said is if handled correctly.
Correctly,
you know,
yes.
I mean, I, like I said in my other comments, I would love to have absolutely nobody incarcerated. But I'm not going to advocate leniency for people who commit crimes. I, unfortunately, that's not the way I was raised and not how I believe. Now, I think what we're talking about is a mixture between what you're talking about, Supervisor Decker, and what you're talking about. Okay, I think there needs to be a moderate position and an analysis, and that's what I myself am going to look to come to. I'm going to try to figure out and find these statistics. Is this time sensitive?
Not particularly.
Because what I would recommend is, this will probably pass your committee tonight with maybe two dissenting votes, but it's going to get to the board floor and we're going to have this out again. And what I would say is why not just defer this for a couple of weeks and come back with statistics that will, you know, make me feel good. I don't know that you can or you won't. I understand what this is supposed to do, and I agree with it. Now, how it gets done in the mechanics are something I would want to know. That's why I'm here. Okay, I want to know if it's first offenders, if it's people that you're going to get before the snowball starts, or if once they get in prison, I happen to agree with you. I don't know that there's a lot of coming back from that. Okay, and do I feel that some people are incarcerated and shouldn't be? Yeah, I feel that way. But there's some that should be incarcerated and
aren't. Yes.
So, you know, I mean, this is not something that I just want to pass a resolution to feel good and save money. this is something I want to look at. Now, I have supported mental health initiatives and where we've been going with our courts, and I'm happy we're on the right path. But I don't know. I would need this to be tied down a little more, and I'd need to see some numbers. So that would be my recommendation to you. You can do what you guys want, but you know, I'm right on the fence, and I'm going to have to do some digging for myself and see where I feel this would come into play.
And again, this is the language from Allegheny County. I didn't write this.
No, and I'm not blaming anybody, and I think it's a good idea, but I think it doesn't tell me exactly where this is starting. And unless I get a starting point, I don't think you can go into prisons and cure people of mental health issues at that point in time. I think that's very difficult. Could it be done? Maybe. But I think you need to get the people early that are going to have.
Yeah, that's what she's saying.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And she said local control.
And I think
so
we need to, right off.
Supervisor Johnson. Did you have anything?
No, I'm good.
Supervisor Johnson.
Right off the bat, though, I mean, absolutely. The first thing we saw was community. We need to make sure that that's redefined more specifically to who is going to decide, you know. And, you know, I actually think that it should be done somehow in conjunction with the sheriff's input, the courts. I think that they should all have a say in it. I think that also, not only that, but I think low risk needs to be defined well, so there's no misunderstanding that we're talking about catching them early and not after they've, you know. I think you're absolutely right, because I think if we want this to go through and actually make a difference, we need to make sure that it's well presented so people understand it completely, what's trying to do.
Anyone else from the committee? Mm-hmm. Supervisor Franken?
I agree with Supervisor Johnson, and will, because there's nothing that's going to be brought before the state legislature outside of the budget until September. Mm-hmm. So what I would like to do is we tune this up. We work with Cush, we work with the sheriff, tune this up, get all the statistics behind it, and that way, instead of possibly getting a fight where there's not enough information, we work to have all the information there, and that way, when they're asking the questions about results and everything else, like at the last meeting, we have that. So a motion to table until no specific date, until we are able to sit down with all parties and tune this up to be a proper resolution.
Could we bring our judges in on that too?
Absolutely.
Whoever is, you know.
Is there a second to his motion?
Second.
Second, Supervisor Johnson.
What was his motion exactly? Table it?
Motion to table it and bring it back.
Postpone it to a different time? Okay.
To an indefinite date until we sit down with all parties.
Is that any other questions, Supervisor Day?
Yeah. I just was clarifying. She seconded it.
Cool. Motion?
I seconded it.
She seconded it.
I got questions.
Supervisor Montoro.
Can it be brought to your criminal committee that you meet?
Committee?
Whatever committee is. Yeah, that's the perfect committee. That's where the court.
Yeah, that's a good person to point at.
But he said that. You said
the criminal
you
justice coordinating committee.
Yes.
Hear the presentation. That, I can bring it back as a topic. That, I believe we have a meeting scheduled in April.
Very good. See,
if not April, it'll be in May. But we can put that back on the agenda for further discussion and invite.
Because that has the parties to it, correct? That has the DA's office, it has the judges, it has the law enforcement. So that's the correct committee.
Can I make a comment, or is that out of line?
It's
okay.
Yeah, I'm trying to rein it back in here, so it's really just to the committee to discuss.
We've taken a lot more time than we had planned on. My name is Sandy Milligan. I'm also part of Cush. And a couple of things I just wanted to touch on. This is just
it's committee discussion only. At this point, it's committee discussion. We've got a motion on the floor, and so eventually we need to vote. Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Sorry. There's been a motion by Supervisor Frederick, a second by Supervisor Johnson. Was there any more discussion on the motion? We don't all need to look so sour about it. My goodness.
We're voting to table it or
postpone it.
Postpone it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So you can vote.
Can we bring it to that committee?
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, there's two terms being bantered out. Postpone, are you deferring it, or are you tabling it?
The motion was to postpone.
Supervisor Frederick used the word postpone.
Yeah.
I think he used the word table.
I actually used the word table. In my first motion.
Are you deferring this to a later meeting, or are you tabling it until you get all the information you want, and then at that point,
table.
Okay.
Just so that's what I seconded.
Tabling means you're going to pick it up at the same meeting. Tabling means same meeting, you're picking it up.
But the motion was to table indefinitely.
Yes, it does.
If I recall. Yes? To table indefinitely.
Yes.
Aaron's right. I remember that from the Roberts Rule class.
Would you like to restate your motion so that we're all clear?
Sorry.
The better way would be to postpone it to a later date.
Okay.
To an indefinite date till we gather more information on the topic.
Got that, Ms. Dave?
Got it.
Thank you. All right, so there's been a motion. Does the second still hold?
Yes.
The second holds.
And an amendment that it's taken to your committee for more information.
May 21st, I just looked up the date for the next criminal justice court meeting.
Okay. Anything else? Okay. Youth and Governance.
Aye.
Hold on, what are we voting on?
The amendment?
I think she just made an amendment.
I did.
Well, she said she wants to make an amendment to that, so.
A friendly amendment? Yeah, so we'll just add it all together?
I need an amendment. I want the right people working on it or we're wasting time.
A friendly amendment.
We had an understanding prior to the amendment, so I don't necessarily know that that was necessary. I mean, it's germane to the motion, but we already sort of covered that. But
if it's there, fine.
Yes. Okay.
The motion's on the floor.
Thank you. All right, Youth and Governance?
Aye.
Committee?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. It is postponed indefinitely. Okay. Agenda item 8, such other business is authorized by law.
I just had one really quick thing, and it was based off of comments made at the last county board meeting. Sharon went back and did some research on the number of grants that we've had and who we've presented them to and how that information has been shared. So I'm just passing out that form for your perusal and information.
Thank you.
So if anybody has any questions, there's only a couple on here that we have not reported back on. One we will do this summer on the intoxicated driver program, and the second one on well-being classes. The data isn't available yet, so the researcher, who I believe is from one of the UW systems, is working on that. We'll report that information back to you when we get it.
And Supervisor Brennan?
I want to let the committee know, I started talking to the administration, I talked to Mr. Jansen as well, is what we need to do is start looking at 2 years down the road. We are missing out when it came to this year's budget. We're going to be, come to Human Services, going to do all right. But start taking a look at all the mandates, because 82% of Human Services, what we were told last year, is mandated by the state. Is start taking a look at everything that's mandated. What's good? What could be done differently? What could be done better? What could be done more inexpensively? Because right now, we don't know what's going to happen. We know we have a decent idea what's going to happen now, but at least taking a look at it. And what I'm going to ask the executive committee is see if the other departments as well, if there's mandates or things that we were held back in by the state, take a look at them and say, we can do these better, we can do this cheaper, because eventually we're going to run to the wall when it comes to the taxpayers, and we have to do something because we're mandated to do something.
Supervisor Dunn.
To that point, I'd just like to comment that in the budget, not this past year, the previous year, they made an amendment to the budget to go through and evaluate all the programs, and that amendment was voted down.
Anything else?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Motion by Supervisor Nuno, second by Supervisor Deck.
Aye.
Aye.
Please?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Yeah.